Blog Talk Radio.
And now it's time to find out loud. It's the Tony Lane Show.
Pack edition of the Tony Lane Show. It is the truly fabulous Tony Lane along with Maris as we welcome you to episode 348 of the Tony Lane Show. Of course, reminding you to log on to TonyLaneShow.com, blogtalkradio.com/Tony Lane Show. It's a destination to hear the show live. And then, of course, subscribe to the show in iTunes and on Google Play. Every time new episodes are published, they will go right to the device of your choice. Easy peasy. Free of charge. Doesn't get any easier than that.
Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
Exactly. On a battleground Sunday. This battleground is taking place not too far from the Palacio Tony Lane Show Studios in the less than sold out Wells Fargo Arena.
True.
I'm wondering, did they pad the crowd there? Because yesterday there was still a lot of tickets still available.
They might have that, or they might have done, because a lot of the times I notice, like, the Rat does it a lot for them, where they give away tickets, like, for that night or the next night type thing. Because I've won tons of tickets to see Raw and stuff like that, and like World Fighting Championship and all sorts of stuff, like where it's the next night.
Yeah, or they did the old WCW way and just gave them away.
That's true. Yeah, they could just give them away as well. I mean, it's relatively the same, and you know, you still sometimes get those final ticket sales.
Well, yeah, I don't know what the walk up was, but there was a significant amount of tickets left the day before the pay-per-view, depending on when you listen to the show, would have been Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But less than 24 hours away from start of the show, and there were still second-row seats.
First, wow.
Second-row seats, I might add, at $500 a pop.
Wow.
But they were still available. And when was the last time that you had a WWE pay-per-view in Philadelphia where literally the day before you could get second row? That's
unheard of. Well, I mean, that's not good. You're right.
Right, because Philadelphia is usually a very good town for WWE for years. It's always been.
Yes.
Wrestling in general. You know, it's always been a historic town. A lot of great things have occurred in the town of Philadelphia. I mean, I was saying my boys back in 1986, they beat the Midnight Express in Philadelphia.
They did.
In their third World Tag Team Championship, of course, talking about the Rock and Roll Express, at the old Civic Center, which I don't know what the fuck happened in that place.
No, I don't have no idea either.
I think they tore it. Yeah.
I think they did, too. I'm pretty sure they did. I mean, it's crazy, like, some of the places that we used to go to or used to be around when they're kids are either, like, abandoned or, like, gone. It's, like, crazy.
And I never knew where it was. I mean, I kind of had an idea where it was, but every time I went, I was still a kid or a young teen. And most of the time when I did go, you know, I never drove because I couldn't drive at, you know, 14 years old or whatever. So when I did go, it was usually on the bus and then the subway or something like that. So I had no idea how the fuck to get there.
You just know the transit way to get there,
exactly.
Which is, you know, that happens a lot, especially when you're in a city or around a city or a place that uses mass transit. It's like you don't, you know, really have to know how or where it is. You just have to know, like, what goes there.
Right.
And then just get on that and go. Like, it's that simple.
Exactly. So I did go to quite a few shows there at the old Civic Center. And then later on, during the Monday Night Wars, WCW started playing the old Spectrum, which got torn down, of course, as well, replaced by the Xfinity Live building. It's there now. But the Wells Fargo Center, actually, the first televised show at the Wells Fargo Center, then known as the Core State Center, was the WWE pay-per-view, Mind Games.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That's gone through so many name changes, it's not even funny.
Right. And I was there. I was at that show as well. That's the show that was headlined by Shawn Michaels and Mankind. Shawn was defending the belt against Mankind that night. And, pretty good show. If I recall, one of the better matches I ever saw in person was Shawn Michaels and Mankind.
Well, they're both great, like legends. So,
oh, absolutely.
I would expect them to do nothing but the absolute best, because that's
and
usually
that,
what they brought anyway.
That was when Mind Games was 2 hours, or when In Your House, the In Your House pay-per-view, they were 2 hours back then.
Yes, they were.
So they would do a third dark hour. And during that third dark hour, the ring announcer was actually sitting next to me.
Nice.
In the audience. And so he comes and sits down. And, you know, we're off the air. So, you know, a lot of people left. Some people, the diehards, we stayed till the end. You know what I mean? And they still had, like, two or three matches that they did after the pay-per-view went off the air. And so he comes and sits down next to me, and I look, and I'm like, that looks like the ring announcer. I'm like,
don't you love that? Dude, I had that. I have a friend. I just had that moment because I didn't know he filmed a Febreze commercial.
Yeah.
And I'm watching TV. I'm like, that really looks like him. I'm like, it can't be a doppelganger. It's like, he looks a certain way, and that looks like him. And lo and behold, it was.
Right, right.
It's eventually, like, you look at it, but yeah, that's that same feeling where you're eyeing them down, and you're like, that kind of looks like that person.
Yeah, and eventually I asked him. I'm like, aren't you the ring announcer? He's like, yeah. I think it was Tony Chimmel. I'm pretty sure that's who it was. And make sure. No. Maybe not.
No?
No. It was somebody that looked like Tony Chimmel. Tony Chimmel's actually a local guy looking at this. He's actually from Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Nice.
But yeah, no, it was somebody that looked a lot like, I forget who the fuck it was, though.
It
happens. No, he began announcing duties for the company. No, yeah, so it was him. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, it was him. Because I was thinking the pay-per-view took place in 96, if I'm not mistaken. So I was like, but then I was reading this, and it said that he was the ring announcer for SmackDown from its inception in 1999. So I'm like, well, he had to have been working for the company in 96 for me to have sat next to him, which he was. He started working for the company in 89. So, yeah, it was him. It was Tony Chimmel.
There you go.
So, pardon me if I start hiccuping or burping. I just, like, wolfed down some tacos.
Oh,
it was like tragic.
Don't mention tacos to me. You want to talk about tragic? My better half made tacos, and I didn't realize they had salsa in them. And I bit into one, and it, like, exploded in my mouth. And, like, no lie, I have second-degree burns all on the inside of my mouth. It's
really?
So damn painful.
Oh, wow. That must have been some hot...
It was scalding.
Wow.
Like, I didn't expect it to be that hot. And I also wasn't expecting the salsa to come literally shoot. I had no idea about it. And it just... I bit into it and it shot right to the roof and the side of my mouth. It burned some of my gums. It's like, it sucks.
Yeah, tell me about it. That doesn't sound pleasant at all.
Mm-mm.
So, so Battleground is going down. We will have all the results coming up in just a few. But just overall... Somewhat surprising, you know, as we said, for it to be that close to a WWE pay-per-view and you have prime seats available. I mean, I remember where I'd be like, sometimes if I wanted to do a walk-up for a pay-per-view, you had to wait till they released the production holds.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they typically would hold some seats. Until they figure out the production, the configuration of the stage and where everything's going to go, and they would usually release more tickets. And so I've actually gotten tickets after they released the production holds. But this wasn't even production holds. This was just purely people weren't interested.
I mean, they have so many pay-per-views, though, and it's just, you know.
And they're coming back to Philly 6 months from now to do the Royal Rumble.
Royal Rumble's gonna sell tickets, though. I mean, that's an exciting thing, and that's, you know, a big event, but like a kind of...
Do you think
you
that
know...
could have hurt as well? Because we are... I mean, the Northeast is the typical home of the WWE. I mean, ever since the territory days back in the day, the old WWF was... housed in the Northeast. We know that it's always been a hotbed in the Philadelphia, New York, mm-hmm. New Jersey area here. But you got a pay-per-view here in Philly. Next month, SummerSlam is in New York, in Brooklyn. And then in January, Royal Rumble's back in Philly again. Is that, like, too much in terms of putting too many big pay-per-views right here?
Here's the problem. It's like, those are, like, the big pay-per-views. If somebody's going to go see a pay-per-view, it's going to be one of them. It's not going to be one of these bullshit pay-per-views. I hate to call it a bullshit pay-per-view because, like, I'm a fan of AJ Styles and Nakamura and, you know, Kevin Owens and, you know, all them. It's like, you know, I'm fans of them, but it's really, like, these little mini pay-per-views are kind of, like, bullshit. It's like there's too many of them. And it's just, it's too much. But right. The big ones will sell. You really can't clump those in with these smaller ones because, like, those are the pay-per-views to watch.
And, I mean, it's one thing to be home, you know, watching it on the network for $10 a month. And
yeah.
Another thing altogether to you know, fork
be paying
out
full price.
$500 to sit in the second row. I
well,
mean,
yeah, or that, yeah.
You know, that's... I've never paid that much. That would be like...
Neither have I.
You know, even for WrestleMania, I sat in the middle. And WrestleMania is pretty pricey. I mean, to sit in the front row of WrestleMania is a couple of $1,000. But I sat in the middle, and I was in the $250 range. So that's the most I've ever paid for wrestling tickets.
And
but
that's,
I would
not, and that's
go,
not bad for you know, for, you know, what it was. Yeah.
Right.
That's not bad at all.
But, I mean, I've never gone above that. I mean,
yeah.
I don't think I would ever pay $500. I mean, you get to keep the chair, but it's pretty pricey just for a fucking 3-hour show that you're going to leave.
Yeah, that's but, true.
You know, and that's all I get to keep is the chair? I mean, come on. At least let me get a lap dance from Emma or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be crazy if they did that. Every seat, they'd sell out of those seats in a heartbeat.
Maria Kanellis, the very attractive Maria Kanellis, with her husband, Mike Bennett, they make their way down. That would be something. Like, you pick a diva, or the girls, I guess, pick a WWE superstar that they like. Well, I guess they're not divas anymore. But.
No, that I can imagine some of the guys being a pretty tragic sight doing that. That's I'm not so sure about that.
What's his face? Batista, if he was still around, I'm sure he would love it.
Oh, God, Batista, Jesus.
Batista, I think he was like a male stripper who happened to be cast as a wrestler. And now
he does look like that. I'm never going to look at him the same. I've never thought of that. That's fucking terrible. That's terrible. How could you do that to me?
Oh no, he was the way
he does look like a male stripper. He looks like a middle aged like Guido male stripper. Like, did you ever look at what they used to consider like douchebags back in the late '90s, early 2000s, like super tan, spiky hair, the lip gloss.
Right.
You know, that's what like strippers look like. So he does, but he looks like a old beat up one that's like hanging on to the last vestiges, just shaking his ass for women.
And he has a reputation for being a ladies' man.
He does.
He did get around. You know, and I even saw how they carried on at one of the shows. I think it was a SmackDown or whatever the hell it was. And it was dark. The TV was finished, and they were just doing a dark match. And at the end, it was when that ring announcer, I forget her name. I'm thinking Lauren something. I could be wrong, though. I'll have to look into it. But it was that she didn't stay long because she complained of, I guess, what would be considered sexual harassment anywhere else. But when you're in an environment where you're with a bunch of, you know, alpha males, you know, can you really call it sexual harassment? I guess you still could.
I mean, you should be able to control yourself a little bit.
Well, it's true. But I remember at the end of the show, so it was totally dark, so nobody's watching it, and they started messing with the girl. She was the ring announcer, so they started, fooling around with her, playing whatever they were doing. And the next thing you know, Big Dave is there, you know, sitting on her lap and grabbing all on her. And I'm like, he was like a stripper all the way.
Oh, God.
I can't. What they do when the cameras go off, right?
Yeah, seriously.
But, I mean, I guess, you know, same thing happens anywhere. And you know, you go to the average restaurant, and if there's like a lot of, you know, guys and girls working together, probably half the staff is sleeping together. You know that.
Yeah.
You know, so no different in this wrestling environment, I'm sure.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah. Speaking of that, of course, we know we have been talking about the Paige and Alberto El Patron issue. Well, as of now, Alberto El Patron, all of the charges or pending charges against him were dropped.
Oh, okay.
Right now, it looks like he's in the clear. Paige doesn't quite look so clear.
Mm.
Paige could potentially be charged with domestic battery. I guess it's her assaulting him. And if that did occur, you know, Paige would most likely be terminated from her WWE contract. So that's something we still have to look into to see exactly what happens there. We have seen that happen once before, if I recall correctly, when What's-Her-Face was married to Drew Galloway, Drew McIntyre.
Yes. Yeah, they... That was a situation.
For assaulting Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
The girl got fired.
But you know what? That does happen too. I mean, if it's going to go one way, it does have to go the other way. And, you know, people will be like, oh, that doesn't happen. But no, that situations like that really do happen.
Right. But Drew McIntyre is a big fucking guy, but I guess.
Yes, he is. But there's a difference. Like, he's not going to – listen, he probably knows he could kick the shit out of the girl. And he's not going to do that because, one, he'll go to jail, and, two, he could really hurt her.
Taryn Terrell, that was his wife, Taryn Terrell. And she was Tiffany in WWE.
But, you know, a girl can whack on a guy most of the time as much as she wants, and, you know, a lot of people won't talk about it, or it's crazy, the stigma behind it.
True.
It's like battered woman syndrome, but it's battered husband or battered boyfriend syndrome. Battered man syndrome. Smacked around man syndrome.
And, I mean, Taryn Terrell was a very attractive woman. And remember, she had a run in TNA, former Knockouts champion. I actually liked her as a wrestler. I thought she was very good. Certainly much better than what we had thought she would have been, because, you know, she came across really as just like a model, another WWE model. But she really learned how to wrestle and really did she did like a cage match and a lot of really dangerous shit. Like, I was impressed. Like, she was actually a pretty good performer in the ring. That was crazy when they did fire her, and when you found out why they fired her, because of domestic abuse against her husband, Drew Galloway, and you're like, what?
Yeah, listen, it happens.
And, I mean, just put it in perspective. Drew Galloway is billed as being 6'5", 254 pounds, and Taryn Terrell is 5'6", 120 pounds. So what the fuck is she going to do to him, really?
She's not going to do anything. But like I said, he knows that he could hurt her very badly, and he knows better than to hit her. But she, I'm sure, would just keep whacking on him, thinking that she can do something.
Yeah, and she got fired, so it must have been real. You know. And now her new husband, I wonder if she beats him around now. Well, he's her baby daddy too. See, her and Galloway never had kids, but her new husband, she's got two kids now. And she doesn't wrestle anymore.
She's slapping them all around.
Right. I think she's just a stunt woman now. But She was good, though. I did like her in TNA a lot. But as far as Paige goes, that would be very unfortunate if that did occur and Paige is ultimately let go and released from her contract. I mean, that would be kind of fucked up. I mean, damn, is Alberto Del Rio worth losing your job?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. But, like, she's really screwing up her career pulling all this shit. And it's like, I don't get it. I still don't get it.
I mean, she can always, I guess, go to porn.
Well, yeah, she can. But, like, but still, it's just, it's crazy to think that she's being nutty like this.
I know. It is unfortunate because...
like, what happened? What snapped? Like, you know, it's a shame because she it was promising. She had a promising career.
Right. One of the most promising individuals, I would say, in the
in a while.
Right. And to throw it all away over a stupid man, I mean, that seems kind of crazy, if you ask me.
And that's coming from a man. So it's not like, this isn't like it's two women being like, oh, giving their life up for a man. Like, you're a guy and you recognize the situation as well.
Right. Right. And I think that Alberto wouldn't put himself in the same situation.
No, I don't think he would put himself in the same situation that she's putting herself in.
Right. And to me, she's got a lot more to lose. She's a lot younger. He's a lot more established. And he's almost 40. Or he is 40. One of the two. Whereas she's...
like 24, 25?
Right. Something like that. She's got her whole career ahead of her. Now, because she spent a lot of time in WWE and she's a name in that sense, and she's been on Total Divas, she probably can command a pretty good fee to do indie shows. But, I mean, if she stayed in WWE, or, you know, and as of now, she still is in WWE.
She needs to figure out what she's doing. That's what she needs to do.
Exactly. She certainly needs to get her shit together because she does not have it together now.
No.
So hopefully that gets squared away and you know, we'll stay on it and figure out what the hell's going on with Paige. Now, the San Diego Comic-Con took place this week as well. In sunny San Diego, California. A lot of shit came in out of San Diego Comic-Con, as always. I mean, that is the biggest Comic-Con in terms of stature. I mean, New York gets more people going to it because the Javits Center is actually bigger than the facility that they hold the San Diego event in. So more people go to New York, and New York certainly, I would say, a solid number two, but San Diego is the big one.
Yeah, you know what it is, though? Like, Hollywood and L.A. is out there, and, you know, a lot of the action movies and comic movies come out of there, so it's convenient. It's easy to have more stars and more people around, and there's more... I don't want to say more disposable income, but the immediate area there does have a lot more money, too.
And you're right, and it doesn't take much for the stars to get to San Diego, you know.
No.
I mean, there are a lot of stars in New York, too, don't get me wrong.
Yes, there is, but they all, if you look at, like, where the sound stages are and where they're filming and things like that, it's really out in those areas.
Right, in California. But a lot of news coming out of Comic-Con, no surprise there. How about the 4-minute trailer for Justice League that was released? I was actually impressed. Have you seen it?
I haven't really looked into anything yet. I figured let it all end, let everything get out, and then I'll start going through, sifting through everything, see what interests me, see what doesn't interest me.
I mean, you can see they're certainly took notice, you know, the fact that Wonder Woman did so well and still doing well. We'll talk about how well soon. She's prominently featured in this new 4-minute trailer.
That's good.
And... you know, they show a lot of the other heroes as well. You get to see
Aquaman
in action. You see the Flash in action. You see Cyborg in action. And surprisingly, Batman's more on the back burner, even though he is featured and you do see him and he does have lines and whatnot. But it seems like it pays way more attention to everybody else than Batman.
Well, I think I have a feeling that kind of ties into the thing I sent you a couple days ago about them kind of wanting to back off from having Ben Affleck be Batman and, you know, produce it and the whole nine yards, you know, and work with them in like a, you know, a more heavily creative undertaking with the Batman character. And, you know, they've been looking to kind of get away from that.
Right.
So, you know, I'm wondering if that's the reason for that.
Could be. And of course, you know, you want to hit while the iron's hot. And obviously the iron is
not
very hot.
Well, not hot with Batman though.
But with Wonder Woman.
Yes.
So it makes perfect sense to have one Wonder Woman prominently featured like she was. And, you know, also to feature the other heroes. And, you know, they tease a little bit. It looks like Superman, you know, Superman's coming back and he's not really dead. He comes back and all that shit. So, you know, should be interesting. Even though they've done a good job of keeping Superman out of all of the advertisements and, you know, playing the role and stuff. But, you know, the sand didn't start floating on the top of the grave for nothing.
Yeah.
He's coming back. Well, and I'm spoiling things for you because you still haven't seen Batman vs. Superman, did you?
No. But I do have the a signed copy of the Death of Superman comics. Or signed copies of, yeah.
Well, if you saw Batman vs. Superman, he dies. Superman apparently dies at the end of Batman vs. Superman. But at the end, the last shot, the sand on the casket, like, starts floating.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, just based off the comics alone, if they do a Superman quote unquote dying line, you know they're going
to
bring him back.
Well, they
like,
have.
They're not.
You can't die.
Yeah, so it's not. He's not going to die. So anytime he quote unquote dies, it's like, oh, he's just taking a nap.
Right.
He'll be back in a little bit.
Exactly. Which, I mean, in that Zack Snyder DC world, I guess he could die.
Well, yeah.
Because they let him kill Zod, and Zod is the Kryptonian. If Zod was able to totally die, then I guess Kal-El would be able to die too. But
yeah, but I think the whole thing with Zod is you need another Kryptonian to kill a Kryptonian. Like, they're the only people that can successfully kill each other. So, you know, that's the only one-up difference.
I mean, Zack Snyder, I'm so glad he is off this project. I don't know what to do. I mean,
he's going to go outside and dance.
I know. I mean, and like I said, my heart goes out to him. Very tragic circumstances as far as why he had to leave, but I think the series, the franchise, is in a hell of a lot better position with Joss Whedon and even Patty Jenkins at the helm.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, I just don't trust Zack Snyder. I just don't, you know. You don't fuck up something that bad.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
I mean, how do you fuck up a movie with Batman and Superman?
I don't know, but you can watch it. It's probably available on Netflix. But, I mean, I'm happy too, but still, it's like, his vision is much different than other people's visions.
Hello?
There you go.
Oh, wow. So I've just been running my mouth for nothing.
Yeah, I told you. Got to check them wires.
Oh, yeah. I think my... So...
We get too animated, start kicking wires and pulling shit.
Exactly. So, I don't even know. What was the last thing that you heard?
I spoke, and then there was nothing after that.
Okay. So, I basically went over all of the Marvel stuff that's coming out.
Yes, okay. So, we missed that. So,
okay.
let's recap.
So all of that. Okay. So, we have the Defenders coming out on Netflix next month, actually. This is the team-up of all of the heroes that have been established in the Netflix series, like Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist. They're teaming up. The Defenders, that launches next month. And we also have a brand new series featuring the Punisher. Punisher, of course, made his debut in the second season of Daredevil. And that's going to be another series tied into that whole Marvel Netflix universe. So, and those are some really good shows. You know, very dark.
Punisher, absolutely.
Oh, and even Daredevil. I don't know if you watched the Daredevil series on Netflix, but it's very dark. Very good, though.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet. I'm still like, Daredevil's probably one of my least favorite characters. So it's one of those things I kind of got to, like, I feel like I need to hype myself up for.
Oh, you'll love this. I mean, it would be hard to not like this series. This series is so well done.
Mm.
You know, you would just love it. The second season introduced the Punisher. And
I've seen pictures of the Punisher. He looks awesome.
Very violent, very dark. I mean, that was some violent shit. If you saw the,
I saw a couple of the stills, and there was a lot of blood.
Oh yeah,
there was a lot of blood.
That
I was like, yeah, that's the Punisher.
That premiere episode alone, the body count was like insane.
Oh, I can only imagine.
And this was, I think, the second season, first episode of Daredevil. But if you give that season a look, it'll really establish the Punisher as a character in that universe. And really good. But, I mean, I recommend that Daredevil show. It's just so good. And season one, where you had Kingpin. And I tell you, Kingpin was such a good fleshed out villain. You know, it was like something you don't see too often, where you've got basically a human being as a villain, which was fantastic that you got a fully fleshed out character that was the bad guy and not just some guy that, you know, ooh, I'm the bad guy. I'm going to go do bad things.
Yeah.
It was like you understood why he was the way he was, because they really explored his background and his relationship with his mother and dad. And you know, you saw what happened to him, what made him turn into what he became, you know? And I thought it was very well done. That if you get a chance to watch that Daredevil show, that's one I would highly recommend. But so not only that, but then, you know, Thor Ragnarok, you've got that's coming out this fall. Big screen release. This will be the third installment of the Thor series. And from what I understand, the trailer that they released, a lot of Hulk. Now, I haven't seen the trailer yet, but they say it's a lot of Hulk, and a lot of Hulk smashing.
Yeah, that's good.
That's always good. Whenever Hulk smashes, good thing. So a lot of stuff coming down the pike from Marvel as well. Also, they got the brand new Spider-Man animated series, simply titled Marvel's Spider-Man, and a brand new season of the Avengers animated show, which now has the subtitle of, I think, Secret Wars, I believe. So all that stuff is also tied into the Marvel Cinematic Universe and all that stuff. I mean, they've done a very good job with it, for the most part, even though, you know, I'm a DC guy true and true.
Yes, I do. But still, I mean, the thing is, you do have to give credit where credit is due, and they have done a good job.
Right.
So whether you happen to be a DC or a Marvel person, they've still done a really good job with the movies.
Right, and just the whole universe in general. The Netflix stuff, the animated stuff, like, you know, just and everything's interconnected. Because even the animated stuff is interconnected into the into the universe. Because I don't know if you've watched, like, the Web Warriors, Spider-Man Web Warriors series that they had, or Ultimate Spider-Man series. But they did a crossover episode not only with the other animated shows, but they actually had some of the characters from the live-action Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like characters that are specifically from S.H.I.E.L.D. that were in animated form with the same actors voicing their animated selves. And so they've even tied the animated world into the live-action world as well. So that's pretty cool that everything is so interconnected like that.
Star Wars is kind of like that at this point too, though.
And it's all under the Disney umbrella.
Yes. They are making so much cash, it's not even funny. Like, I don't even think we can, like, imagine the amount of money they're bringing in.
Right. But they're doing a good job with the...
Well, that's the thing. They are. So, you know, good for them. I mean, I can't be mad at them. I enjoy what they're doing.
And, speaking of Disney, coming next month, and they did have a preview of it at the San Diego Comic-Con. Our favorite show that allows us to solve mysteries and rewrite history, DuckTales, is coming back.
DuckTales, woo!
The brand new DuckTales series, they did air a preview of it, and you know, they have released that same preview on YouTube, and so you can take a look. It's great to have the DuckTales crew back. I mean, that was a show I really enjoyed back in the day.
It was good. I watched the hell out of it, but it's like I'm weird. Like, as all through growing up, like, I've gone through phases where, like, there's certain shows that I liked for only a certain period of time. Like, they fit me for that time, and then they'd still be on, but after like a year or two, it'd be like, all right, enough of you. I'm really tired of you. And like DuckTales was one of those. Like, I watched like a you know, season or two, and then after that, it was like, all right, I'm done with you type thing. I'm weird like that sometimes. So I may try to give the new one a shot, but I don't know.
Now, this new DuckTales, you know, Scrooge McDuck's back, along with Huey, Dewey, and Louie, and Launchpad. But they also have added a female niece with Huey, Dewey, and Louie. So now I don't know what the girl's name is. And I think, is also a part of it now.
I thought there was already a little niece. She wore the little pink dress with the pink, like, headband with the bow on it.
Not when I watched it, unless she was on, like, later seasons. But
I could have swore I remember seeing a little girl. It could have been later. I might have been trying to get back into it at one point and just didn't go over.
Because I remember when I watched it, it was just Scrooge McDuck, Huey, Dewey, Louie, and Launchpad.
Mm-hmm.
But now, this new series, they have the little girl as the niece. Trying to see. I'm looking at... Well, Donald apparently was on the old one.
He was on the original.
But he wasn't a main character.
No. He wasn't a main character, but he was on it. Like, they would have scenes where they would have dinner together, you know, Uncle Donald's coming over, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, you saw Donald Duck quite a bit on the old show. Just cameos, though. Nothing ever like a main story around him or featuring him.
Right, and I think in the new version, I think Donald is a regular character now.
Okay.
So Scrooge, Huey, Dewey, Louie, Webby is the niece, and then Launchpad.
Do they have the old Scottish miser?
Not that I know of.
Ah, damn, he was my favorite. I totally forget his name right now, but the old Irish duck.
Oh, I remember what you're talking about, right. And he wore a kilt, right?
Yeah. Had the big beard and shit like right. that. And walked with a cane, would beat people with it.
Right. And he had like a little hat or something.
Yep.
Like, kind of
had like that little golfer's hat.
Golf hat, right, exactly.
Yep.
Yeah, I do remember him.
He's my spirit animal.
But so a little different there with the cast of the new DuckTales, but I'm actually looking forward to it. I was always a big DuckTales person back in the day. I mean, I had liked Darkwing Duck too.
I loved Darkwing Duck. I would love to see Darkwing Duck come back. That's something kids need to watch nowadays. That's good TV.
I wonder if they're going to bring it back. I mean, they...
Oh, I would be thrilled.
Everything old is new again.
Yeah, that's true. I would be so thrilled. That really was a great series.
If you look at how many series from back in the day that, you know, were on, you know, when we were kids that are new or new rebooted versions of them, you know, it's incredible. So many shows. You know, DuckTales is just the latest. I mean, you know, they brought back Inspector Gadget a few years ago. Mr. Peabody and Sherman, which that was actually even before our time, really.
I loved Peabody and Sherman. I used to watch, because, you know, you could watch the reruns of the shows. And Underdog and Peabody were my favorite characters for like the mini episodes that they would do on the shows, and I just, you know, I was hooked on them, and I didn't like the new one, but I'd like to see one structured like the old one.
Oh, okay. And good news for you, Entertainment Weekly is reporting that Darkwing Duck will be a supporting character on DuckTales.
Yes!
Disney XD looks to revive the fan-favorite animated series. They're bringing back Darkwing Duck along for the ride. So that is...
That's
good
great.
News. Yeah. Not his own show, though.
No, his show was great, though. It had, like, enough adventure and enough comedy. Like, it really did keep you entertained.
Right. At least, not for now, but you never know. Things can't change.
I mean, how Darkwing Duck is one of those individuals that has, like, literally a cult following.
It does.
So I imagine that a lot of us remember Darkwing Duck, so you never know. It may go over well. You may start to get a lot of, you know, hits on or views for episodes that have him, and maybe they'll take the hint and be like, hey, let's do... Darkwing Duck series.
Yeah, if Darkwing Duck does well, it wouldn't surprise me if they do let the whole Disney thing that they had back in the day relaunch as a result of the success of DuckTales. Like, you know, maybe DuckTales is just them...
trying the waters again. That they did have good programming on their little, like, certain time slots. Like Darkwing Duck, that whole time slot, they usually had good shows in there. And then they had like some more, a morning couple, like a block of morning shows that were really good that were like a certain, I forget what they would call them. Like, I remember the old school, like, after lunch specials and stuff like that.
Right.
But they don't call them like the after lunch specials or the special delivery, you know, after school special shows.
Well, now you have, you know, all of the streaming services and things like that. So it would be a lot easier for them to put some of this stuff out. And you never know. I mean, if stuff does well, like the Young Justice series did so well on Netflix that they're bringing Young Justice back for a third season, and they actually talked about that at the San Diego Comic-Con as well. So that's another series that saw its return just based off of its popularity on Netflix there. So it's a lot of potential there for some shows that could come back.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm eager to see how it goes over.
I know. I wonder, are they going to play the whole DuckTales theme? They have to. I mean, it was such a great thing.
I don't know if I can handle that theme anymore.
bring back too many bad memories, or
it was one of those things. Like when you first listen to it, you're like, yeah, this is cool. I like this song because it was catchy. But after a little while, after you hear it for like a year, you're like, just fucking shoot me, stop it already.
Do you remember the DuckTales game
for NES? Sure, I have it.
Yeah.
It was the platformer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think I had it on Genesis or something. Was it on Genesis?
Yes, they did have, I believe it was, they had one on NES, and then I think they came out with the one on SNES and Genesis. I know I have the Nintendo one.
Yeah. And you know, of course, I was Sega guy, so.
Mm-hmm. I'm a gamer, period, so I have them all.
Right. But, yeah, it was Nintendo. I do see the Nintendo thing. I'm trying to think. Was there...
There might have been a DuckTales game on Genesis, because Disney always had a good relationship with Sega. So Sega always had a lot of good Disney games. They also had a good repertoire with... Nintendo too. So, you know, there were plenty of games on the Nintendos and the Sega that were Disney. A lot of games.
It may not have been released there. I might be
It could be a Japanese only release.
Yeah. It definitely was on Nintendo though.
Mhm.
Definitely. But I recall playing a DuckTales game back in the day. I thought it was on Sega. I could be wrong. Maybe it was a remake or something. Who knows?
Yeah, it's possible. It could have came out later. Could have been something that maybe you thought was that, and it was some like offshoot thing. Because remember, you also would have games that were pirated or, you know, knockoffs of other games back even then. So
that's true. But, yeah, it was definitely on the NES.
Yes, definitely on the NES.
Right. And there were some Disney games on Genesis, but I guess it wasn't DuckTales. I guess I was mistaken. Because I don't see DuckTales at all on here. And I'm trying to do some fact-checking very quickly, and I don't see it. So I could be wrong. It's a long time ago. What can I say?
Well, it has been a long time, but it's all right.
Yeah.
We forgive you.
Exactly. So, I'm just glad a lot of news has come out of San Diego Comic-Con as expected, and can't wait for all of this stuff to come out. I mean, you see all these little previews and things, and then you got to wait for the shit to come out. That's the sucky part.
Yeah, that's the sad part of it.
Yeah. So, on the Battleground results, Battleground started off with the Tag Team Championship changing hands. Well, first, before the show went on the air, we had the pre-show. Aiden English actually won a match. Can you believe it?
Damn.
Victory over the Perfect 10, Ty Dillinger. So Ty Dillinger finds himself back in the very familiar spot of jobbing at the beginning of the show, something he did all the time in NXT. And then, you know, when he came up to the main roster, they were starting to let him win, and the people were behind him. And now he's back to jobbing at pre-show matches.
Jobbing.
It's a shame, too, because he's a good wrestler.
That is, yeah, it is. It's shitty when they job people out that are good.
Then we go on to the main show, and Tag Team Championship changes hands. I mean, I talked about how my boys back in the day beat the Midnight Express in Philadelphia, so now another Tag Team Championship has changed hands in the City of Brotherly Love as the New Day defeated the Usos to win the SmackDown Tag Team Championship, and now they are three-time, I guess, champions overall, but this is their first SmackDown tag team, though.
But so three times overall. It's still three times.
Exactly. So Nakamura defeats Mr. Money in the Bank Baron Corbin via DQ, and then the fatal five-way elimination match to determine the number one contender for Naomi's SmackDown championship, and the winner will face Naomi for the title at SummerSlam, and surprisingly, Natalya won. I was thinking Charlotte Flair was going to win. Becky Lynch. Maybe even Tamina Snuka.
Mm.
Maybe even Lana. But it was Natalya. And I must say, very happy that Natalya won.
I like Natalya a lot.
I don't think she's going to win the belt, though.
Probably not, but I'm still happy that they have her at least looking decent. You know,
exactly.
they kind of we know how the Divas division goes.
And she'll probably wrestle Naomi. It'll probably be an ultra competitive match.
Mm-hmm.
Naomi will retain the title, and then you'll probably get a cash in from what's her face, Carmella.
Mm.
That would be the perfect opportunity.
That would.
After she's wrestled a hard match, and now run in and take the title.
That would be perfect. All right, book it.
From there, Kevin Owens regained the United States Championship. So you had the title change a couple of weeks ago at the house show in Madison Square Garden, where AJ Styles defeated Kevin Owens to win the title in an untelevised house show. And now Owens wins the belt back at the pay-per-view. So that's kind of a shock. I guess that was the reason why they changed it in the first place, so that they can let him win the belt back at the pay-per-view. I mean, it doesn't really make much sense, other than just to draw interest in the pay-per-view. Is that the reason for it? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, that might have just been some sort of, like, kind of save face, try to get people to tune in match, because, I mean, I didn't feel a lot of, like, hype behind the match. I mean, I'll watch both of them because I like them, but it wasn't really a, ooh, I got to see this.
Right. And I'm wondering, where does it go now? I mean, are they going to do possibly Nakamura and Kevin Owens for the U.S. title at SummerSlam?
Maybe. Maybe that's what they're trying to set up.
But then where does AJ Styles go?
I have no idea.
I mean, could be interesting to see where
it's kind of precarious because We know the writers.
Right. And a lot of times, we don't know what the fuck they're thinking. A lot.
Yeah.
John Cena defeats Rusev in the flag match. And that was the first match I actually got to see.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll see the rest of it on the replay. But it was John being John. I mean, what can you say?
You can't see me.
It wasn't anything unusual other than John Cena being John Cena. Still saw him calling moves loud as hell, just like he always does.
Mm-hmm.
And he wins. You know, it's always funny to me how when wrestlers are in matches, like gimmick matches, even like the match that's going on now, how when the storyline dictates, you know, it takes them forever to, like, climb a ladder or something like that, but you know they could really run up that ladder in, like,
two seconds and it'd be over.
But, you know, it'll take them, like, you know,
15 minutes
to
slowly, yeah.
Barely one rung at a time.
Hanging on for dear life. It's like, come on, dude, just climb up the fucking ladder.
And you see it, the same shit, like, in that flag match where, you know, John acting like he can barely walk down the aisle to go put the flag on the thing and, you know, giving Rusev enough time to come running from behind and hit him and all that shit. Like, it's just, I mean, that's a gimmick match for it. I mean,
yeah.
You know, you're going to always get stuff like that. So, John Cena wins, no surprise there. I was surprised here that Sami Zayn actually had the victory over Mike Kanellis with his lovely wife, Maria Kanellis, I might add.
Mm-hmm.
And despite her distractions and interference, Sami Zayn...
taking home the W.
No one, yeah. So that was a surprise. There. Great, Khali. What the fuck?
Yeah. He's back.
I hope this is just a cameo to help the Maharaja out. Because that's all we need is the return of the big Khali. This is insane. The Great Khali coming out in this Bijami prison match to aid the modern day Maharaja. Jinder Mahal, I think Mahal's going to retain the title as a result. Randy Orton's legit cut. I mean, I guess that's bamboo shit.
It hurts. That shit hurts a lot. And it's strong.
And Jinder Mahal, I think, is going to escape over the top of this cage and retain the title. Yeah, it looks like that's going to happen. So it's an easy way for Jinder Mahal to get his third win on a pay-per-view over Orton, but he didn't have to pin him. And now you got, you know, Great Khali interfering, and yeah, Jinder Mahal retains the title. So we that went official just now. So
I had a feeling they were going to let Jinder Mahal win.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, Randy Orton winning the belt back
does nothing for them.
But,
yeah.
And you're a month away from SummerSlam, so. It's one of those things where you kind of have to, I guess, keep the heel champion on. I don't know what direction they're going in. Will it be AJ Styles? Will it be John Cena that faces him at SummerSlam? Will it be both? Maybe it'll be a triple threat, AJ Styles and John Cena.
There you go.
you know, and because I think on the Raw side, you're probably going to have a fatal four-way for the Universal title. I mean, especially after what we saw last week with Roman Reigns and Samoa Joe, and then Braun Strowman coming out to basically beat up both of them. So you're probably going to have the three of them against Brock Lesnar for the title. That's what it looks like now. I mean, could be wrong, but if I was a betting man, I would put maybe 50 cents on that.
Maybe. Maybe 75.
Possibly. But Fatal 4-Way is what I'm looking at. But see, you don't want to have all those multi-man matches either.
No, that's like too much. You kind of, it's, you know, it's weird how like a good structure of like a pay-per-view works. Like you don't want to have too many of a certain type of fight, because then it's like, you're seeing the same stuff over and over again. And like, yeah, multi-person matches are good, but it's like, they can get real boring too, especially if they're not like going well. If they're not exciting, they're not fun at all.
Right.
You're just like, come on, just end it. I'm done with you people. Move along.
And a lot of times, I mean,
and a lot of times they sadly are like that.
They are. And I would prefer a one-on-one match, especially for the championship.
Yes, I would prefer one-on-one matches, especially for championships as well.
You know, I mean, if the only multi-person matches I like are like legit tag team matches, when you're doing triple threats, fatal four ways, and fatal five ways, and all that, I really would prefer it to be one on one. I mean, every now and then I'm surprised. Probably the best triple threat that I can think of was probably that WrestleMania 20 main event when Benoit won the title from Shawn Michaels.
Yes.
Triple H. That was a great match.
But don't look at the caliber of all those people in there. Like, you're talking some of the top of the top.
Right. Right. Some of the best performers. And I mean, regardless.
In history, period.
But, you know, Benoit did ultimately. He was a great in-ring performer.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, that is insane. So, I mean, we'll find out what happens. Because, and I'm sure we'll start finding out very soon, because now the road to SummerSlam
is upon us.
Yes. So before we go, of course, we do have to acknowledge more sad news. Every week, sad news. The suicide of Linkin Park singer Chester Bennington. You know, very tragic.
I didn't believe it when I got the alert.
Yeah.
You know, it just came, the alert came across Linkin Park singer Chester Bennington dead at 41. And I'm like, what? I'm like, this can't be. And I look it up and they say dead by hanging. I was like, no.
And apparently he was very close to
Chris Cornell.
Chris Cornell, and did it on Chris Cornell's birthday.
Yes.
That is just.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Sad. That's really sad.
It really is. And Linkin Park, great band. I mean,
and their world tour started this week or this coming week.
Right, right.
I have a friend that had
in Camden on the first.
Yeah, I had a friend that had tickets to it.
Wow. But yeah, and they were doing some giveaways. I know. You know, I subscribed to SiriusXM and they were doing some giveaways. And then after the news hit, they said all of their Linkin Park promotion has been canceled due to unforeseen tragic circumstances.
Yeah.
And that was like the email that they sent out like after the news broke. But, yeah, so it's unfortunate. Another person gone far too soon.
Depression sucks.
Yeah, it really does. And I mean, who knew it was like so many of these singers that people love and admire so much, and you know,
I'd say it probably runs in some of the most creative people. Like, if someone's creative or artistic or musically inclined, I can almost guarantee that they have some type of depression or something.
It's sad. Very, very sad.
It is.
So, condolences, obviously, family, friends.
And there is a suicide hotline in case anybody ever feels that they're going to kill themselves or they want to talk to someone. There is a suicide hotline down there. You can call and talk with someone and get stuff off your chest.
And what's crazy, too, is that, like, the other members of the band didn't even know what was going to happen.
No, what happened was they had a photo shoot that afternoon. So he knew that he was coming back. That particular guy was coming to pick him up that afternoon or within a few hours. And I guess, you know, no one was home at the time that he did it, not his wife or his kids.
Right. Yeah. Just overall, very, very sad situation.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we don't have another one next week to talk about.
Yeah. Let's not.
Ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
None of these guys were on your celebrity poll this year or pool.
No. No, not a single one so far. I'm 0 for 0.
Yeah. So, then we had George Romero last week.
I must be picking up the wrong cues because I guess I'm picking people that are actually immortal when I think they're like right on the precipice of dropping dead. So,
I mean, Adam West, not too long ago.
Yeah, like I didn't even think about him. It's like you don't think they're like, oh, no, Adam West will be fine. You know,
and
stuff like
this
that.
Year, Mary Tyler Moore, right?
Yeah, it's like it's crazy. Like these are things like I didn't even think about it. It's just kind of one of those things where you assume, like, yeah, they're going to be alive forever,
right.
Like. It's like you don't. The thing is, like, when you're that much of an icon, you don't see them like that. Like, they're like larger than life. They'll always be around. They're always going to be a lot. And then they drop dead, and you're like, oh fuck, they're human just like me. I totally forgot.
Right. Yeah. I mean, 2017's been rough, but I mean, 2016 was rough too. A lot of
2016
stars. Prince.
Yep. Billy Idol. Oh boy. Whatchamacallit? David Bowie.
Bowie, right?
Alan Rickman. I mean, so many.
Yeah, it was tough. So, let note. Now we got everybody all depressed and sad.
Yeah.
Want to thank everybody for listening, and of course, subscribe to the show in iTunes, Google Play, of course, blogtalkradio.com/Tony Wayne Show, the destination to hear the show live Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So, for Maris, I am Tony Wayne, and we will see you next week.
Think out loud, the Tony Wayne Show.
What kind of world are we living in? That this is considered entertainment.
TonyWayneShow.com.